I'm John Coleman of the Point 8 Tape Ministry. On February the 27th, 1983, I preached a sermon at the Olivet Baptist Church called Call to Obey the Gospel. And that's exactly what each of us as Christians are called to do, to obey the gospel. Taken from Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 16. The key verse was verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? You know, the Lord has been moving on my heart now for the third week in a row, the importance of not only doing what the Lord called us to do, but to obey the gospel. And I talked about on the first part of the sermon the difficulty I have at times in trying to make sure that I'm going to do what the Lord tells me to do, and the severity that comes upon an individual if they don't do it. We had three basic points in this sermon that we spoke about on this particular Sunday morning, and the first one is that the gospel comes to man with the force of a command. The second point is, what then are the claims of the gospel to obedience? And third and lastly is, what is the obedience required by the gospel? With God strengthening me and helping me, I think that I was properly led by the Holy Spirit to bring this. And I hope that you are blessed as you listen to the call to obey the gospel.
You know, the Lord is good to his church because he gives us the spiritual insight to own up to that. That's where we'd be, right? You know, say, well, I'm better than that. No, you're not. As always, I want to share with you the latter part of a poem written by a young Christian man that's gone on to be with the Lord now. And he's speaking about the devil. I think I read this about 3 or 4 years ago, I believe, at a Men's Day presentation here at the church. I won't quote the whole thing. I'll just quote the last three stanzas. If Satan were to talk to you today, this is what he'd say. My job keeps getting easier as day slips into day. The magazines and the newspapers print every word that I say. This world is just my spinning top. It's all like child's play. You know, I dream that it'll never stop, but I know it's not that way. Satan continues to talk. He says, still my work goes on and on, always stronger than before. I'm going to make it dark before the dawn, since, now this is terrible here, no one believes in me anymore. Well, I used to have to sneak around, but now they just open their doors. No one's watching for my tricks, since no one believes in me anymore. And then Satan ends up this lie of his by saying, well, I'm gaining power by the hour. And isn't he? They're falling by the score. You know, it's getting very easy now, since no one believes in me anymore. I'd just like to say this morning, and I'm not trying to be like Reverend Stanley. I'm trying to be like the preacher that God called
me. Amen.
It is evident in our congregation that no one believes in him anymore. Think about that. But it's good that we are here. It is good that we are here this morning. See, I had to comment about that. You see, when you don't believe that Satan is alive anymore, you listen to everything that he tells you. Mm-hmm. You know, well, I don't feel like doing this today. I don't feel like being disciplined today. Mm-hmm. Satan is saying, it's getting very easy now.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Call to obey the gospel. That's the subject. Called to obey the gospel. We believers are called to obey the gospel. Not just to listen to the gospel, not just to carry the gospel to others, but called to obey it. The Bible says that eternal salvation is given unto them that obey him. As I was praying earlier this morning, and I pray even now as I talk, let us obey the gospel. What is going to be the determining factor as to whether we enter into heaven? It's whether we obey the words that our Lord and Savior inspired and left for us. Man today is the same disobedient creature that he has been in every dispensation. There are basically three dispensations. We've had that taught here at Olivet for years. The dispensation when God is working directly with man. God speaking with Noah, telling Noah to build the ark. Man was disobedient. This is why God had to destroy the world. And then in the second dispensation, when he was working through his prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, Amos, and all those other fine fellows, man is a creature of disobedience. Now in this third and last dispensation, we have the Holy Spirit with the church, walking alongside of us. Man seemingly is still disobedient, whether it be the gospel or whether it be the law. Regardless of what dispensation is, man is disobedient. But we as believers are called to obey the gospel. I will be one of the first ones to say that it's a very difficult thing when I hear the gospel preached to me. Especially, and I'm saying this because I listen to my tapes, you know, like Reverend Stanley said, sometimes I listen to myself also. And I try to put myself in the hearer's shoes. I say, gee, how did they feel? How would I feel? How did I feel for years sitting back here when Jake stood here and preached the word?
Yeah.
I know sometimes I felt a little uneasy. Because what he was saying was not him, it was God. And a lot of times when I sat back there, I would say, not how did he know that or what is he talking about, but why is he talking about that issue? He spoke about that issue because that's what God wanted me to correct. And I'm saying that because I listen to my tapes too, and I ask myself, gee, do you know how you sound to others? Then I talk with myself and say, will I change? Never. When he called me to preach, I said I will do it the way he instructs me, and it will be that way until I die. And I'm thankful to God for that. But I just wanted to say that in case someone thinks, well, he's preaching now. I'm judged by that same, by this same message. Today I'm judged by it. And woe is to me if I don't live up to the standards of the gospel. Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 53 verse 1, who hath believed our report? He looked around at his fellows, at his contemporaries. He saw that junk had crept into worship. Their captivity had turned to chaos. And Isaiah was saying, who hath believed our report? Here in the 16th verse of chapter 10 from the book of Romans, in the New Testament, for the New Testament church, the Apostle Paul says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? We call ourselves believers. We should be the very ones that believe the report. We have the good news of the gospel, yet some within the church will not believe the report of the gospel and follow what the Bible calls another gospel. And that's a dangerous thing to follow, another gospel. That would be a good sermon to preach one day, another gospel. Amen. We are to share, and there's just 3 points that I'll talk about this morning. The first point is that we are to share to all the call to obey the gospel. That's our job as believers. And I want you to understand that to all, not just to Olivet, not just to people of our own nationality. We are to share the gospel to all. Let's talk about that just a few seconds here. When you see other people of other nationalities, how do you really feel on the inside? Christ died for them. He died for the man from Indonesia, for the man from Mexico, for the Chinaman, for the Anglo, for the black. He died for us all. But sometimes we think in terms of just sharing the gospel with those that are already in churches. Granted, they need the gospel shared, but we're to go into the world. We're to share the gospel with all. The second point that we'll talk about this morning is in form of a question. What then are the claims of the gospel to obedience? In other words, the gospel make claims on our lives. What then are the claims of the gospel to obedience? And third and lastly, what is the obedience required by the gospel? Just 3 small points. But yet we as a church should take these points, go over them in our minds, and ask the Lord to help us do it. And for God's sake, let us be the ones that are called to obey the gospel. For if we in the church don't obey the gospel, who will? Before I began, I ran into one of those interesting persons standing in front of a well-known chain of drugstores with the little deal in his hand. And as I was entering into the store with my daughter and a couple of her friends, the young man said, "A contribution for the gospel." I stopped, paused, and looked at him and said, "I'll speak with you on the way out." And as I came out, I sent the girls to the van, and I asked the young man to repeat his statement, and he said, "A contribution for the gospel, or the sake of the gospel." And I went on to ask him for Bible and, you know, chapter and verse where he's commissioned to do that. And he came back and said this to me, "Can you show me chapter and verse where I am not to do that?" And we were looking at each other eyeball to eyeball. I said, "Well, what you're asking for is a verse that says, thou shalt not hold a bucket and ask for money from sinners in front of thrifties for the sake of the gospel." See, you're not going to find that verse there. He says, "But are you a follower of Christ?" He said, "Yes, I am." I said, "Do you follow Christ's example?" "Yes, I do." "Did Christ ever do this or commission his followers to do so?" No answer. So I said, "I'll answer for you. No, he didn't. Since I am commissioned to follow him, I did not do what he did not do. And what you're doing is asking sinners for money for the gospel's sake, which is not the Lord's way. He never did that. He gave to the sinner, never took anything from them. The gospel is to be given. You give of the gospel. The gospel never asks for anything for its own sake." Call to obey the gospel. Now, whether this young man will obey what he's heard, that's another story. But I, as a Christian, was obligated to do what? Tell him. What if I say, "Well, I don't believe that, and you believe the way you want to believe, and I go my way"? Guess what? God's going to hold his blood on my account. See? Point one, we are to share to all the call to obey the gospel. That, in essence, is what I was doing, sharing the call. The gospel comes to men with the force of a command. The gospel never comes to men as a suggestion. It's always coming with the force as a command. We're commanded to obey the gospel. It is not optional for man to accept or refuse it at their own pleasure. It is a command to do. Again earlier, God has given me a gift of gab, I call it, yakking, since she's been with me. Some of you here can attest to that. Thank you. But you see, it's just not talking if it's coming from me. Obedience to the gospel is just not me up here talking, running my mouth. You know, John can talk an hour, and he got it just out like, oh, he's really gifted in that. Hey, they got guys, not even Christians, that can do that far much better than I could. Sweep you off your feet. Come up here and say things so eloquently and turn around and, oh, my. You just be, look at, just look at him. You ain't looking at nothing. You know? And I know when you're looking at me, you're not looking at too much. Because I know who lives in here. Amen. But see, the new man is fighting for supremacy. How often? Just on Sunday mornings? Every day. The new man is fighting for supremacy. Because the old man is like in Keith Green's song here, hey, they don't believe in me anymore. I'm saying to the devil, I believe in you, and I'm out to defeat your kingdom. Have you ever said that to the devil? I am out to defeat your kingdom. I am out to get people out of your kingdom and put them in Christ's kingdom. You say that to the devil, you know what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit is going to empower you to help defeat his kingdom. When we're called out of his kingdom, we are called to defeat his kingdom. Not him. Not him. But to empty his kingdom. That's what Paul and those people were doing when they went to the temple on the hour of prayer. Judaism, they was going through religious and religious practices, and Paul went and preached Christ. And in the part of the scriptures it says a great company of priests believed. That's our job, is to defeat Satan's kingdom. What is the obedience required by the gospel? As I said, it's not mere talking or hearing. So I went to church today, I sat there, I heard John. I heard John. That's not it. It's not merely just liking the gospel. I like what I hear. I like so much what I hear, I'm not going to do anything about it. It sounds like a good plan to me. Said, does it? Yes, it is. What are you going to do? I have other things to do. That's not it. The obedience required by the gospel is not just professing or proclaiming it. I profess to be a believer. I love the Lord. He heard my cry. Said, amen, what are you doing? Nothing. It's not proclaiming it, Jess. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. All of us in here could say that. But that's not being obedient to the gospel. But what is it? It is a hearty obedience to its commands and claims. A hearty or a deep emotional, I've got to do this or I'm going to explode. See? I've got to do this or I'm going to explode. Now I know what Ophelia does. Ophelia drives a bus sometimes. She may see a lady that she's been wanting to, I want to talk so bad. Lord, I'm going to explode if I don't do it. Well, you know God doesn't want you exploding in offices, you know. So he's going to give you the ability and the capability to do that. Something on your part. What is the obedience required by the gospel? You're going to have a hearty obedience to its commands. Lord, you commanded me to do it. I am going to do that. Here are some of the obedience required by the gospel. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is the first one. There's only four, then I'm finished. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going nowhere in your Christian walk. You cannot have faith in the Olivet Baptist Church, because the Olivet Baptist Church is full of people. Full of people. Redeemed people. Not all of us here are redeemed. But redeemed people, you can put some faith and confidence in that person. But what's so unique even about redeemed people? Sometimes redeemed people get tired. Sometimes redeemed people don't want to share with you. You know, talk to me about this. Well, you should be beyond that. I'm tired of you. No, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who indwells the redeemed people. How about another element of obedience required by the gospel? Renunciation of self-righteousness and confession of guilt. That's heavy. I have to renounce my self-righteousness. I am trash. Did you know that for a young preacher to go around other preachers, John, do you really think highly of yourself? Oh, no way, brother. I'm trash. What? We're asking you to speak at the council and you're going to tell the people that you're trash? Yes. Mm-hmm. Aren't you trash, brother? I feel good about my... I didn't say that I didn't feel good about myself. I said, but I'm talking about what I am. What did the Apostle Paul said? Oh, wretched man that I am. This is the apostle, the great apostle of the scriptures. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. Now, he could have pointed to somebody else. But he said that I am. And now here I am. If there was 4 million beans in a bag, I'm not one of them compared to Paul's spirituality. And I see myself as trash. Amen. But you know, when you see these preachers walking around with three-piece suits, sharp and everything, talking about elevators in the house and Cadillac cars and Rolls Royces and God is blessing me and I'm this, he's garbage in God's sight. Not only in mine, if I'm sitting out there listening to him. And if I get a heckling of a chance, I'm going to tell him what I think of him. You're a disgrace to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just like that. He's a disgrace to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if Christ came back today, Christ would say to that person, you are a disgrace to the gospel. Get behind me. Just like that. What's another point? I said confession of guilt. Most times we don't want to confess that, do we? I don't want to confess that I'm guilty. You'd better confess it. If you don't do it in this life, Jesus said, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. So you don't have to confess it before God here. I may die 10 years and not confess something to God. Christ may come back in another 2,000. Guess what? I will confess it to him and you will hear it. Because you will hear it. Did you hear what John said? Yes. What's another point? Public confession of his name by your life. That's what's required of the gospel. I publicly put forth the claim that I am the Lord's, and I'm going to follow the Lord in every element. I am called to obey the gospel. Lastly, and as I close, if you refuse to obey the gospel, what happens? Your hearts will harden in deeper unbelief. You better hear that. If you refuse to obey the gospel, you're going to get harder. Heart's going to become like a brick. Like I'm talking with that guy in front of the store. I asked him and he just looked over me as if, man, you're not busting a grape. And I had to laugh. I said, boy, I said, his heart has gotten hard. What's another point if you refuse the gospel? Others will obtain the blessing that you will refuse. You hear that? If you refuse the blessing that God has for you, some other believer is going to get that blessing. Because, hey, you know, God says that he has it for me. I want it, Lord. I want to obey the gospel. I'm going to take it. You go ahead and continue to refuse it. I'm not going to say I don't care about you. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to even talk with you. I'm going to say, listen, brother or sister, you're in danger of losing a blessing. Look at what God will do if you relinquish yourself of your rights and let God have his way in your life. That's what happens. Thirdly, you will die in your sins and your blood will be on your hands. That's what happens when you refuse to obey the claims of the gospel. You die in your sins. You die in your sins. But John, been in church 86 years. You will die in your sins. But John, I'm a minister. You will die in your sins and your blood will be required at your hands. I think we can see from listening here this morning the importance of obeying the gospel to which we Christians are called. And I like to close and say that if ever you hear a preacher preach, and you're convicted by what that preacher says, Pay attention. That's the Holy Spirit's work. The Holy Spirit, you see, if there's no conviction, if there's, God forbid, if you go to church and the preacher preaches and everybody's amen and smiling and nobody's convicted. You know why? Because the preacher hasn't said a thing. He's aimed at the emotions and hit the emotions. He's merely hit the emotions. But when you're convicted in your heart and there's a funny feeling on the inside, I hear what he's saying, I feel funny. Thank God. Praise him. Something's happening. Something happening. The Holy Spirit is trying to take out the garbage and trying to put in the good. And if the preacher never gets that response from his congregation, he's a failure. And if he gets that response, first I got to get that response in here myself, to me. And if he doesn't get that response from the congregation, he's a failure. If he does, Jesus Christ is saying, good job, son. For those, because there are youngsters here that have never received Christ, Christ is always ready, willing, and able to invite you into his kingdom. But there's something that you have to do. You have to really want to obey the gospel. And I'll close by saying this. What I mean by want is you're going to have to take this attitude. I don't care what anybody else says. I want to follow Jesus all the way because he's going to give me more strength to walk in that way better than my dad can. Better than any adult can. Because see, Jesus can be where you are, where I'm not. Amen. And that's what's so good about it. When I call on him, you can call on him. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the gospel that is preached. And we ask that we may be called to obey the gospel. We ask your divine forgiveness where we have failed in doing that. And what we ask you to do is to continuously in our hearts convict us when we are not obeying it. Let us take these words and use them and apply them daily in our lives for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the offering that we are about to collect for the furtherance of the gospel. We also thank you, Lord, that you have provided a means for us. Strengthen us. Have us not to fight against your spirit, but to welcome it. In Jesus' name we pray for his sake. Amen.